The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
Having returned from the Feast of Tabernacles and the Last Great Day, what do we do now? Having completed all of the holy days of God for this current year, what do we do now? Having heard all the sermonettes and all the sermons describing the awesome plan of God of salvation for all of mankind, what do we do now? Having sung all the songs of praise and worship of God during this holy day season, all of them for another year, what do we do now? Yes, brethren, what do we do now? We wait. We wait on God. And please understand when I make that statement that we wait, please understand this waiting, however, may not be what first comes to our minds whenever we hear this word, wait. So today, let's take a look into what I would consider to be a very timely topic of waiting on God. Let's begin by turning to the book of Psalms, chapter 33. Psalm 33, verse 18. Psalm 33 and verse 18. Behold, the eyes of the Lord is upon those that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy, to deliver their soul from death. This is an incredible statement, all of these two verses that we're reading here that we're in so far, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. So yes, we see that God's eye is on those who fear Him. And we heard about this topic of fearing God during the feast, didn't we? Well, we did, and I certainly hope that wherever you attended, you heard about this also. Go with me to Deuteronomy 14 and verse 23. Deuteronomy 14, 23, this is where we're told to fear the Lord. And you shall eat before the Lord your God in the place where He shall choose to place His name. You are to eat the tithe of the corn and of the wine and of the oil and of the firstlings of your herds and of your flocks. So that, the word so is not there, but it could be, so that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. Back in Psalm 33, it doesn't matter if you go back there because we're not going to read the verses, but back in Psalm 33 where we were, what we see from these verses is that it tells us to wait for the Lord. Because He is our help and our shield. That's what He says. Brethren, if you are anything like me, we do not like to wait. At least, I don't like to wait for what I refer to as unnecessary waiting. I mean, you go to a doctor's office and you wait and you have an appointment and 45 minutes later, you're not gone in. That's unnecessary waiting as far as I'm concerned. I'm not talking about that kind, but we're impatient with unnecessary waiting. In one way, waiting requires patience. Even though we should all know and understand that patience is one of the aspects of the Holy Spirit of God, waiting can also sometimes feel like a struggle. It's a struggle. It's pain to wait for us as humans. We get impatient. Now, with this in mind, please go with me to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. We're going to read verses 7 and 8. Psalm 37, verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself because of him who prospers in his way. This is talking about someone living a contrary way of life to God is what he's talking about. Don't get upset. Don't get angry. Don't be fretful because of that. Because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. Don't fret about those things. Go back to 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Don't worry about these other things. These are just two illustrations in verse 19. No, we are to cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself in any wise or in any ways to do evil. Because, brethren, that's what we would as humans tend to get ourselves into. When we're waiting for something to happen and it's not developing and we're waiting on God for whatever it is that we're waiting on God to do, and he's not doing his job, as we might not want to actually state it, but that would be what we would be thinking, that he might not be doing his job, because after all, I asked this and it hadn't happened yet. We tend to sin. We tend to go in another way. Another translation puts it this way, this last phrase, do not fret. It leads only to evil doing. And I like that. And I would agree that that is what the gist, that is what the sense of the Hebrew is here. So, brethren, hopefully we can see from these verses that to wait on God can bring about a kind of tranquility or a kind of serenity or a kind of peace or a kind of shalom, which is has its own meaning in itself, and I'm not going into that. But he brings this in our lives if we wait on him, have patience in him, knowing that he's in charge, knowing that he's going to do what he says he's going to do, knowing that he knows what is best. He works things out for our good. And of course, we all know, if we just simply look around, there is not too much peace in this world today, is there? No, it's anything but peace. But as we also look around, however, we also notice that there is too much strife. We notice there is too much confusion. We notice there is too much noise. And we notice there is too much distraction from what we would refer to, what I would refer to as order and peace coming from God. Because he is not the author of confusion. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Now go down to verse 40, and he tells us another thing. You can read all of those verses, but go down to verse 40. Let all things be done decently and in order. That's the godly way. And this is what is produced when we are practicing the biblical concept of wait on God or waiting on God. Sometimes it'll say waiting on the Lord. Because you see, brethren, too many believers fail to rest in the Lord. What we were told to do in Psalm 37 and the A part of verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Too many believers fail to do that rest. Too many believers fail to really wait on God to do what it is that he is going to do. Is it a lack of faith? Is it a lack of trust? Is it a lack of confidence in God? The answer is, yeah, it could be any or all of those. But when we're not waiting on God to do what it is that God is going to do, we're questioning God. And that's not good. The fact is, too many believers have what I would call complicated lives. And it's unnecessary. It should be peaceful and in order. Lack of confusion, as in all the churches of the saints are to have. Go with me to Isaiah 46 and verse 9. Isaiah 46 and verse 9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. In other words, God's going to work things out. He's going to work out what he says he's going to do. He's going to do it in his time. He's going to do it because it's the best way. It's the best time. And everything that he is going to do is going to be the absolute best. But we're human. We get confused because we're not waiting on the Lord. We're not waiting on God. Because what I want us to understand here, brethren, is that for us as believers, I know it's for all the world, but it's really for us. It's for the believers today. God recorded the history of ancient Israel so that we would learn lessons from their lives, both from the good as well as the bad examples. We're to learn from that. That's what he said. All of these things, he recorded it for us. Too many believers get caught up in some of these things that ancient Israel did. And what I would want us to understand from there is this can cause the complicated lives where we don't need to. We don't have to have that. We don't have to have this lack of peace and harmony and all of those that God has offered to us that he makes very, very plain. I'm not saying this is all that we do, but I'm saying he says if we're waiting for him, then these things are benefits that are going to happen. We're not waiting for him. These are benefits that are not going to happen in our lives. And it's pretty straightforward. It's cause and effect. It's spiritual cause and effect. And God's the one who is in charge. And then here in verse 9, we are told to remember the former things of old. Then in verse 10, we just read that some things that are to happen have not yet happened. For example, obviously, one of those things is Jesus Christ has not yet returned and set up the family of God on the earth as is promised and prophesied through all of the holy days, whenever you understand it in that way, but at least primarily the Feast of Trumpets and the Feast of Tabernacles, the fulfillment has not yet happened. And this is what he's telling us in these verses. We're to wait. We're waiting on God. Is he going to do these things? Yes, he's going to do it. How do we know? He said so. He said so. And brethren, all too often we hear the word wait, and our mind tends to run to or to focus on the meaning of the passage of time. And in many situations, this is accurate. This is what it's describing. But it's not all that there is, because however, brethren, what we need to understand is to wait on God is much more than simply the passage of time. There's difficulty when we read in English words that have been translated from Hebrew into other languages, back into Hebrew, and then back into other languages, and then on into our English language. And we miss things because in our word we say, hold it, wait. What does that mean? It means stop, stand still, just wait there for a minute. I'll be back in a moment or whatever you told, you know, whatever. Just wait here. I'll be back. Now, what do you expect is going to happen? What do? You wait. It's passage of time. And sometimes that's what it's referring to, but when it's referring to wait on the Lord, that's not necessarily what it is referring to. And so there's complication just simply because of the languages. But it doesn't need to be with us. Waiting in the Bible is more like having an expectation that God is going to do something. It is the expectation that God is going to do something in my life. We bring it down very personal. I wait on the Lord and you wait on the Lord. And what your expectation is of why you're thinking about, I'm waiting on the Lord to accomplish this. We do prayer requests. These people are waiting on the Lord to heal them. God is the healer. And it's real plain from the studying of this lesson, wait on the Lord. It's not because we have said, we're sick, heal us, that God is just expected to do it now. But there is an expectation. There is an expectation. Proverbs 14, verse 26. Go to Proverbs 14, 26. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of sanctuary. I like that word better than refuge. Have a place of sanctuary. What we need to understand, what we need to see from this is having fear of the Lord and waiting on the Lord is what brings about the strong confidence that God will do what is best in my life or in your life or his life or her life or our lives. Fear of the Lord has to be there, and it has to be coupled with waiting on the Lord to produce this the strong confidence that allows us to be able to come to the conclusion that God is going to do what is best. He's going to work out what is best. And yes, of course, in everyone else's life also that has fear of the Lord and is waiting on God. It's not just my life, but it is everyone's life that is having fear of the Lord and waiting on God. Go with me to Psalm 27 and verse 14. Psalm 27 and verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now, keep that in mind. Now, I want you to also go a little bit further back in Psalm, go earlier in the book to Psalm 5 and verse 3. Now, I'm going to read this out of the NIV, the New International Version, because I like the way it's worded here in the NIV. Verse 3. In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning I lay my request before you and wait in expectation. Brother, I also want us to understand that simply knowing what waiting means is not enough. We also need to know why we should wait on God. What it is one thing, and also why we're asked to wait. Go with me to Psalm 52. Psalm 52. Psalm 52 and verse 8. Psalm 52 verse 8. I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I'm not going to go in and explain. Maybe in another time we can go into and explain this phrase, a green olive tree. It's very interesting, but it'd be more than I would want to spend in this sermon because it could take us our thoughts in another place. I am like the green olive tree in the house of God or in the church of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise you forever because you have done it. You are accomplishing what you said you're going to do. You were doing those things. And I will wait on your name, for it is good before the saints. This last phrase to me I find very, very interesting. We are told to wait on your name. The your name there is wait on God's name. Because you see, brethren, as we are waiting on God to do what it is that He is going to do, we are to be thinking on some of God's names. Why? Because they reveal an incredible amount of information of who and what God is. It revealed to us more about who He is, what He has done, what He is going to do, and what He's going to accomplish in our lives and the lives of others. All of these things can be understood through studying of the names of God. I'm not going through here in this particular message and talking about the names of God, but this is what we are told to do, to wait on your name, the names of God. And again, I ask, why? Well, because they tell us about His wonderful nature. They tell us about who He is. And they tell us about exactly what we can expect from Him. But you got to know at least some information about the names of God to be able to know what to think about as we're waiting on God. We focus on the names of God. We focus on what He is and what He's going to do. You got to know those things. For example, think about God as the Most High God or the Almighty God. And I'll just leave it at that. Those are just two that we can think of. And again, I'm not stating that we need to know and we need to study the Hebrew and all of that, but if you really wanted to get into it, it is even broader concepts if you understand it from the Hebrew. But just think about the names that we do know as we are waiting. Or think about that He is faithful, that He is kind and loving and just and true and merciful and everlasting, just for a few. As we're waiting for Him to accomplish and to do what it is that He's going to do. I want you to go with me now to Psalm 62 and let's take a look and see where David tells us that God is the source of our security. God is the source of our security. You feel unsafe at times? Well, God is the security, is our security. Psalm 62, verse 5. My soul, wait you only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. If you would actually just dig in and study those two verses, you will have such a bigger concept of who God is and what He's doing just by looking at these two verses. And we read them and we go on. But it's so much more to this. Another thing that we learn about God as we wait on Him is that waiting brings about stability in our lives. I mean, God even tells us that He wants stability in our lives. He tells us He wants this in our lives. Go to 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5, verse 10. 1 Peter 5 and verse 10. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while. Most of us don't want to hear about that. What do you mean we're required to suffer for a while? That's another topic, but this is all part of it. Will make you perfect, establish you, strengthen you, settle you. In other words, God promised to us, as we wait on him, he will bring about stability for us in our lives. Am I saying that there are times whenever we may not feel real stable, real stability in our lives? Am I saying it's because maybe we're not waiting on God? What I'm saying is it's because sometimes we may not be waiting on God. We're trying to work out the details ourselves. We're wanting what I want, and I want it now. I want patience, and give it to me now. You know, that's what we tend to do as humans. So a question that I think that we need to ask ourselves is, how are we to wait? Well, we are to wait patiently on God in Bible study, in prayer, and in meditation, and in fasting, and truly trusting God to stabilize our lives. Is he going to do this? Of course he is. That's what he says he will do. There is spiritual cause and effect that affects our lives. Go with me to Psalm 40. Psalm 40 in verse 1. Psalm 40 in verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. In other words, I use the phrase, and I think every one of you have heard me use this phrase, that we are to have, he tells us, to incline our ears. He's talking about having big ears, you know, make it out broad so we don't miss. We hear exactly what he's saying. What this is saying, this is what God does. He inclines his ear. He turns to us. He listens to you. He listens to me because we are his children. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Brethren, what I want us to understand from these verses is this is describing stability. He gives us that flat place in which we think about up on a rock is something that, whoa, this is kind of treacherous and all. That's not what is implied. It's talking about a smooth place upon a solid rock. And, of course, that rock is referring to Jesus Christ. There's nothing shaky there. This is stability in our lives. All of these things come about because and through waiting on God. There's yet another benefit of waiting on God, and that is the benefit that waiting brings about what is called strength. It also brings about strength. Because you see, God desires us to use our gifts and our talents and blessing others while we wait on him. Go to Psalm 27 again. We read this earlier, I know, but I want to read it again because it also fits here. Psalm 27, verse 14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now, with this in mind, I want you to go also now to Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40 and verse 31. Isaiah 40 and verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles or as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's that same concept. That's that same concept. There are all of these things that are benefits from waiting on God that are there available for us. And I question whether they're going to be so strong in us if we're not doing just that, if we're not waiting on God. Now, lest any of us begin thinking that waiting on God is sitting back and doing nothing, that is not in tune. That is not in harmony with what the Bible says. We could go through the Hebrew. We could go through the Greek. I don't know that it really helps us in a lot of ways to do that unless we're doing an in-depth Bible study, but we could do that. But what I want us to see is that we tend to think that waiting is something that happens to us, not something that we do. We wait at the doctor's office and we think they're doing this to us. But waiting is something that we do. In other words, you don't just sit down and do nothing. There is things required of us. All too often, we tend to think it is a passive activity. In other words, not so much required of us. Wrong thinking. Because, however, the Bible makes it very clear that this waiting is active and not passive. It is active. You have to be involved in it. Our English definition, that is not the case. That's not what it is. We wait, you sit down. Okay, wait in here until I come back. We sit down, we wait, or we read a book or whatever. We're passive. We're not doing anything. That's not the biblical concept. Please go with me now to the book of Lamentations. Lamentations chapter 3, and we're going to read one verse, verse 25. Lamentations 3 and verse 25. The Lord is good unto them that wait on Him or wait for Him, to the soul that seeks Him. Brethren, did you catch it? Did you actually get what it actually just told us? We wait on God by seeking Him. Matthew 6:33. Most of us can quote that. But seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It's not sitting down doing nothing. It's being active. It's being searching for God, seeking God, studying His names. He gives us these benefits as a result of all of that. And, you know, I think sometimes people think I harp on that on these topics like this just simply because I want people to be doing things. Well, why I'm harping on them? Because I want people to be doing things. I want us to be seeking God. I want us to be learning about God. God will teach us more and more and more. But it's not waiting. It's not sitting down waiting for Him to give it to you. I want to tell you a little story. True story. There was, when we were serving in a ministry in Chicago, there were a lot of unemployment, I would think, that you could imagine, in that area. And there was this one man that it was my wife and I, we went together to visit him on this one occasion. Because he had been out of a job for so long. And so I said, well, let's come by and maybe I can encourage him and tell him about how to go and maybe he needs to know how to find a job and, you know, all these kind of things. So there I go. And I said, so what are you doing? And he says, I'm waiting. He says, what do you mean you're waiting? He said, I'm waiting for somebody to knock on the door to offer me a job. I'm not kidding you. That's what he told us. Those of you who know me know, I'll tell you roughly what I said. No, that's not the way it works. You got to get up and go out and look. But he's waiting. I'm waiting on God. This is what he said. Brethren, between the end of the Feast of Tabernacles and the Passover, the start of the new holy day cycle, we can get bored. We can get tired. We can get sleepy. We can get discouraged, and we can do a whole lot of other things. And I know because this is a tendency that happens within the Church of God. We can't afford to do that. We can't afford to do this. Therefore, as we are waiting, we need, and I use the word need, yes, we need to spend more time in prayer and Bible study, and yes, more time in fasting, and yes, more time in meditation and all of those things, and more time in really seeking God. Not less. We tend to, as the holy days are coming up, between one holy day and the next, we really dig in and we really study a lot about that next coming holy day. And all of that's good, and I continue to do that. But we've got roughly 6 months before now and the Passover. We don't have time to sit back and wait and do nothing. We're going to be, on an individual basis, if we choose to do that, we're going to be, to use the phrase, left in the dust. We need to be doing these things. We need to be spending more time in prayer, more time in Bible study, more time in fasting, more time in seeking God, meditating on who and what is God and what is He going to do. Not less, but more time as we're looking forward to that Passover and the beginning of a new holy day season. Waiting on God is not passive. In fact, there is really nothing passive about waiting on God. It needs to be spent in being very, very active. It needs to be a fire in the belly activity. But what we tend to do is slack off. Well, there's not another holiday for 6 months. No, there's not another holiday for 6 months, so we need to get in there and do all these things that are active, 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 not passive, sitting back and doing nothing. We have to be on fire. We have to be. Waiting on God is a very interesting Bible study, and if you've never really gone through and you've never spent time in an exhaustive type study on the simple phrase, wait on the Lord, then I strongly suggest that you spend some real quality time in prayer and Bible study on this topic. I am skimming the top of the surface on this topic. If you do this, and I do, like I said, strongly suggest that you do this. If you've never done this, do it. If you've done it before, do it again. Because you might be really turned on to all that God is doing and all that yet He is going to be doing. Why wait for Holy Day to explain His plan? This is what I'm going to do in His plan. And I'm going to do this and this part of the plan of salvation, and I'm going to do this and this part. And all that's good, and I'm not knocking it. That explains the whole plan of salvation. But we don't wait until the next one to come to learn more about it. We get active, involved now. I mean, when you really stop and think about it, after all, you are actually doing that. You are seeking God, which is what He said that we need to be doing. Seek you first. Seek you first. So yes, brethren, the holy days are over for this year. Now as we wait for the next cycle to come, during this time of, like I already said, some 6 months or so, let us spend the time in waiting on God. I want you to notice one more place in the Proverbs before we conclude? Go with me to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. We're going to read two verses. We're going to read verse 9 first. Psalm 37 and verse 9. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. And right out to the side in your Bible, if you're one of those people who are not afraid to mark in your Bible, put Matthew 5:5. The meek, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Brethren, do you understand that this is actually describing what is going to happen to us when the Feast of Trumpets is fulfilled? We're going to inherit the earth. Evildoers are going to be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. It's equated with, blessed are the meek. They shall inherit the earth. Now go down to verse 34. I'm going to read the A part of the verse. This is Psalm 37, verse 34. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. Again, brethren, this is describing us entering into the kingdom of God. It is going to absolutely require waiting on God. And again, I tell you, I touched a very tiny part of the surface in this topic. So hopefully, brethren, we can all see, if we do actively wait on God, it will be well worth the wait. The ironic blessing. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Brethren, God bless each one of you with more and more blessings as we learn and put into practice waiting on God.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.